This is Dr. James Crosby, Head of Sustainability at Advantage Utilities. I'd like to ask, could your organization be more of an energy sector hero? Are you interested in improving your sustainability as a business? Well, now you can obtain the expert view and guidance on renewable energy solutions, on-site generation, carbon accounting, and sophisticated grid energy purchasing options through Advantage Utilities. Our team of experts use the latest tools to better analyze, track, and reduce your organization's energy usage and carbon emissions. To find out how Advantage Utilities can become your one-stop shop for all your energy and sustainability needs, please visit www.advantageutilities.com or give one of our passionate and friendly team a call on 0208 131 4747.
Hi there, and welcome back to the Energy Sector Heroes podcast. My name is Michelle Fraser, and every week I will speak with incredible people who share their lessons, experiences, and stories from their time spent in the energy sector. Hi there, and welcome back again to this week's episode. If you're new to the show, then please take a second to subscribe and even consider sharing the show with just one other person. This week, I am joined by Oscar Papahan. Oscar has over 18 years experience in the energy sector and is also the Vice President of Development and Strategic Relations and Head of Geophysics. Oscar, would you like to add anything else to your introduction, please?
Yes. Thank you, Michelle, for having me on your show. On top of what Michelle explained, I also, on top of that, I'm a president of Institute of Technology of Bandung from Indonesia in Malaysia, where I leverage my network and influence to foster collaboration and partnership among industry and stakeholder and academic institutions. On top of that, I also would like to contribute to the advancement and sustainability of the energy sector with my technical expertise as well as leadership skills. Yeah, I think that's my additional, Michelle.
Thank you. So how did you get started off in the energy sector?
Yeah, when I graduated from Bandung Institute of Technology, my career started as a purchasing officer in a group, sugar group companies in Jakarta back in 2005. So I feel that I have to get a job. I have to go out from my house. So, and I have to prove that I can be independent. And then I continue the career to the oil service for 12 years in the industry. Yeah, Michelle. So I started with the purchasing officer actually.
Okay. So, did you have any role models in your career, and why did you find them inspirational?
Of course, I have role model. Yeah, first of all, my role model was my parents. Yeah, so they educated me as to be the good person in whenever I work, and I have a role model in the industry where they teach how to work and then focus on the scope of work. That's most important thing. Otherwise, we will do the job every time, timeless. Yeah. So, and then, of course, in the industry as well, we learn from our senior. So how do we took their advice, the good advice actually, and then try to adapt with the industry to get better future career. Yeah.
Okay. So you were saying that you like to contribute to the sustainability in the energy sector. How do you go about doing that?
Yeah, with my professional skill, actually, I was started to think that way when I graduated, and I think more than 4 years, I joined a software subsurface company from UK, and then I learned a lot. How to use their software and the application to find the oil and gas. And then I was thinking that it's good to contribute and then to bring that technology to the universities. So on top of doing my work, I often, if I go back to Indonesia, I voluntarily teach a student. And then when I get the opportunity to bring the software technology into the university in Indonesia. First of all, I bring the technology by through the software donation. Yeah, software donation. My company name was Icon Science from Teddington, London. And then I try to bridge the industry by giving the chance collaborating with the university in Indonesia and in Malaysia. Yeah, so I teaching the software, how to use it, the background of the theory. And on top of that, I also conduct the free training workshop, Michelle, to the young final year students. Of course, I have to pick up the brightest one because the limitation of the space and then the what it called the venue. So I selected several good students from universities, teach them how to use the software, and then hope they can easily jump into the industry by utilizing the skills. Yeah.
Okay, but that's really commendable that you do that. So do you work with the students a lot in the different universities?
Yes, indeed. Yes. Through the first, the easiest one, I go through the Association of the Geoscientists, yeah, in Indonesia. Easy to broadcast the announcement, the poster, the flyers that there will be a free training only for the brightest student, right? I will be going to, I will be the, what it called, the trainer itself. I got a certified trainer from my company, and then also the support from the company as well to bring the knowledge and experience for the future young generation. Yeah.
Okay. So how do you go about getting a certified trainer, being a certified trainer?
Okay. My role was as a sales, technical sales geoscientist at the time, right? Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I have to by my company to be able to give the training. Yeah. So we go to Jakarta. By the way, I was the first technical person in Malaysia. Yeah. With my boss, a sales manager, Martin Borden, from Australia. So only two of us in the company. And then after that, now the company growing with more than 20 people, bigger office. Yeah. Before it's only small office, small space. So I'm happy to be part of the company. Yeah, they gave me opportunity to go to Asia Pacific countries to promote the software. That the software is actually really good. Yeah.
Okay. So, what is the most challenging thing about your current role?
Oh, my current role. Okay, before I jump into the business development things, it was my first time, you know, getting the partnership into my current company. The challenging part is the company that we created is very totally new. We started from scratch, from zero, no operatorship experience. So we have to manage to get our partner to couple with our company to be qualified to bidding the new asset in oil and gas. So the challenging is we established in 2020, October, and then we managed to get the asset in 2023, February. So 2 years, in 2 years, we managed to get oil and gas asset in Malaysia. Yeah, that's the challenging part, yeah.
Okay, so how did you overcome that challenges then?
Of course, for the new company, we need to engage with many people, especially the expertise. The companies, we use our network. Yeah, we use our network. And then the good thing is I've been 18 years in the industry. I know a lot of people. We know we have three people in the team, the core team. We use our network. And then finally, we bring several partnership, but come up with a partner that come together with us for getting the asset. Yeah, sure.
Okay, excellent. So in your opinion, what makes an outstanding hire if you were going to interview a graduate person?
For myself, first, they have a good knowledge, of course, And then I think the best thing that the good parameter for me is the good having a good attitude. Yeah, so good knowledge with a good attitude are the main parameters that I'm looking for. Yeah.
Okay. Because do you think that everything else can be taught?
Yes, of course, everything else can be taught. So when they join the company, they will be having several training, right? Especially for the fresh. We won't give them a very high task, but we will start from zero and then getting familiar with how the software works, how to solve the problem, getting the outputs correct, getting the parameter correct, processing correct, and then finally can get good quality of work.
Excellent. So, have you ever had any career disasters?
Career disaster. Back in 2005, my career at the time, oil price is so-so. So I select the first job. Whenever I got the first job, I just take it. At the time, it's the purchasing officer. I'm dealing with the vendors that selling some goods to us. And at the time, I was thinking, when the oil and gas opening, I just tried, just keep trying. We don't know our destiny, but I keep trying until I got the one job settled in Jakarta and then continue with a series of jobs. And 2015, early 2015, my contract not renewed. And then I was jobless for 2 months. But of course, I keep trying to get jobs, any jobs, of course. And then I settled, I can get job until now. So that's to me experience that my career also not smooth, but as long as we have faith, goodwill, we can be having a good career. Yes.
But that must be a really difficult time when you don't get your contract renewed and you are looking for work, because sometimes it can be very stressful.
Indeed. Indeed, it was very stressful. So no backup plan at that time because I was sure that my contract will be renewed because in 2000, sorry, Michelle, it was not 2015 but 2019. So I started 2015, 2019, 4 years in the operator companies in Malaysia. So that's the time that I performed very well. I got the KPI exceed the expectation. So 3 consecutive years, I didn't thinking about not get the contract renewed, but the reality is not what I expected. So I have family, 3 children, and settling outside my country, it's tough. Yeah, it's tough.
So, do you have any advice on how to deal with that to our younger audience?
My advice would be we have to know we have to predict accurate prediction on our career while we are working. My prediction that my contract would be renewed, but the fact is not. So that we have to clearly know. And then secondly, we have to have a backup plan. If we our contract is likely not renewed, then we have to engage or start applying the jobs. Yeah. So that's going to be my advice. Yeah.
Okay, so your advice would be even when your contract's going to wait to come to an end to start applying for jobs before that happens.
Yeah. Yes. I am the model that I have to finish the contract. I don't want to breach the contract during certain period that we have agreed, right? So I fulfill my 4 years contract. So after the 4 years, then I start looking for a job. Of course, we have a flexibility before our contract end to find other jobs. But yeah, to me, I have miscalculation. That's the first. So I just wait until the contract end, and then I start looking for jobs. Yeah. Once I got the news that my contract will not be renewed.
Okay, excellent. And that is excellent advice. So, Is there anything else that you still want to achieve in your career?
Of course, I have an aspiration. I have also ambition. When I joined the business in oil and gas, my role most of the time are doing technical work and try to perform, chasing the deadline. And once I jump into the business development, then it is an open eye for myself. Yeah, I should be dealing with the economics, how to get the company survive, investment. Yeah, so that kind of thing that make me more experienced to explore further.
Okay, excellent. So, what does your typical day look like in your working career?
Typical day. During my career, I've been my first after the purchasing officer. I have experience in the operation in the field doing the acquisition of seismic. It's 6 weeks on and 3 weeks off. So during the field, my work is 12 hours per day.
Mm.
Yeah, and I have to fulfill all the tasks. It's high tension, high demand from the client, and a good experience. Yeah, multicultural, multi-international communities. And when I survived for 3 years in the field, I seems to be thinking that it is good to be based somewhere. And in 2008, I based in Malaysia until now. Seeing the family, of course, oil and gas, there are two parts of oil and gas, services and operator. In services, most of the time, our task should be client-driven or output-driven. Yeah, but in the operator, we are more on managing the team, managing consultant, managing vendors. Yeah, so that's those two roles I've been getting that good experience. Yeah.
Okay. So I was looking at your LinkedIn profile, and it was saying that you were currently managing the PhD courses. How did you get into that? That must be very, very rewarding to do that.
Yeah. I got two masters, actually. I got two masters. I got it since 2013. And then in 2017, I started to teach, giving lecture, Misha, from the industry. We teach a master student. I teach master student as a guest lecture for full 2017, 2018. 2019, they like how I teach. So they offer me one course to be taught, and it's a seismic interpretation since 2019 until now. So from there, I was offered a position to monitoring the master and PhD program, its curriculum from Geology Department of University of Malaya. So I'm happy to do so. So basically, I'm bridging what are the topics that hot in the industry to be used or to be studied in universities. Yeah. On top of University of Malaya, I am also an industry advisory panel for University Teknologi Petronas. My role also bridging the current geoscience topics in industry, new technology, new theory to be implemented in the curriculum of geoscience in UTP. Yeah.
Okay. So is this how you find, because you're going back to your sustainability, is this how you find your students to take part in this sustainability training then?
Yeah. We, like, for example, in the program, they are focusing in the petroleum, actually. Exploration, production of hydrocarbon, but with the topic of the net zero emission, We have to do a sifting. So what are the topics that will be usable in the net zero emission that we have to bridging to the in the university? For example, carbon capture and storage. That's number one. So we have to not only doing the exploration of reservoir that contain hydrocarbon, now we have to select the good quality of reservoir to be able to store the CO2. That's for example. And the other one, like most of the time, GNG using the site survey or shallow gas or shallow hazard for putting the drilling rig. But now we give them that the shallow hazard not only for the drilling rig, but for the wind farm, for example, so that we can go to the renewable energy. So that kind of issues that bridging the industry to the universities. So connecting the current topic that net zero emission, wind farm, renewable, that happening in the industry to the universities.
Do you think that Malaysia will reach their net zero targets?
We have the biggest, there will be the biggest of carbon capture storage in the world, I think, in the Kasawari in Sarawak. So I believe they can achieve the net zero. We are there. I observe a transitioning is going well now. In terms of renewable and net zero in the Malaysia market. So of course, I at the moment doing the oil and gas, but we also have to think that when we have the high CO2, we cannot just easily flare it, but we have to just capture and storage it. So that's going to be the rule of thumb here.
Okay. Sounds excellent then. Do you currently work with the new technology in carbon capture?
We are engaging that part also in our asset, in the asset. The regulation saying that if we have a certain percentage of CO2, it should be dealt with as per the regulation. So we are engaging with some vendors, consultant, or association that can help us on that issue. Michelle.
Okay, excellent. What keeps you motivated when things get tough?
What keeps me motivated? Oh, that's a hard question. Of course, my family is the main driven what motivates me, and that's my family, and secondly is myself. I have a philosophy that anything happen, I have to be fully responsible. I have to be fully responsible on what is happening, especially the task that given to me. So I have, if I agree to receive the task or I got my scope of work, I have to perform. I have to deliver. If not, then I have to ask for the why it's not why it's not work. So that motivate me that I have to fulfill. I have to perform. I have to deliver.
Okay, excellent. I was going to ask you, do you have any advice for the young graduates wanting to come into the energy sector?
My advice, energy sector now is not only oil and gas, but also renewable, solar, wind farm, and et cetera, et cetera. So my advice would be, we have to prepare if you are a geoscience background or whatever subject that you are taking to get and to enter oil energy sector, make sure you go over, prepare yourself not only for the specific portion, for example, not only for specific oil and gas, but also you have to prepare and gain knowledge for renewable, carbon capture, etc. So that geothermal, so we have to get your knowledge at least to. We have to be ready for the all energy sector, not only a favoritism in some part of the energy sector. That's my advice.
Okay, excellent. So I'm going to ask you one maybe final question. If you could turn back time, would you change anything?
Yeah, I learned. I heard your podcast, and then this is the a good question actually. I have prepared it, Michelle. when it was 2010, my family, my parents reside in Jakarta, in Bandung, basically actually, and then when I traveled to Jakarta, the company gave me assignment to give the training for operators for oil and gas companies there. At the time, I was given 3 days, 3 days, 3 days time to teach them. And one time, my late father asked me to go to Bandung. It was 2 hours distant to Bandung. But at the time, I was very, very tired, you know, giving training 3 full days for the client. So I just give him a call. But my father really missed me, so he wanted me to go back to Bandung. But I couldn't because I was very tired. And at the time, I went back to Malaysia, and I keep calling. And then my father, and then until my father passed away, that's my regret. If I go back the time, I will go to Bandung, visit my parents, make them happy, and then just seeing them face to face. Yeah. That's the, if you turn the time, I turn the time, then I'll do that.
I'm quite speechless. That is quite sad, actually. Yes, that is very sad. Okay. That's all the questions I have for today. I would like to thank Oscar for taking the time to meet with me. That brings us to the end of another episode. Thanks for listening and see you next week. That brings us to the end of another episode. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, I'd like to gently encourage you to leave a 5-star rating wherever you listen to podcasts and share the show with another person. You can also follow me on LinkedIn or via my website, www.michellefraserconsultancy.com. Thanks again for listening and see you next week.